We have one more conversation about African-Americans and law enforcement, but we're going to talk about the lawyers. When people think of black attorneys, they probably picture crusading civil rights advocates like Thurgood Marshall or defense lawyers like the late Johnny Cochran. But black lawyers can be found on the other side of the courtroom, too, as prosecutors. Some consider prosecution work a special challenge for African-American lawyers. These attorneys often face questions about why an African-American would be part of the machinery of incarceration. It's something that these prosecutors talk about behind closed doors. Felicia Newman, an assistant prosecutor in Kentucky, recently decided to take that conversation public. She recently wrote a column for Newsweek magazine called I Am Not the Enemy, and she's with us now. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What made you want to write this piece?
I think the main reason that I wrote the piece is that after almost 3 years of being a prosecutor, dealing almost exclusively with narcotics cases, I ran into a lot of resistance from the black community, for which I'm a part of.
You mentioned that people can be quite free with their remarks. Like, what are some of the things that people say?
You know, it varies. Obviously, the defendants' families are not very pleased with me. They seem to think that I'm personally prosecuting or personally persecuting these people. The funny thing is that I have people who I consider highly intelligent, college educated, saying the same things to me. And I guess that was the stressor to me.
Like what things? Like what things did they say?
Like you hit on in your introduction, how can I be a part of this system that's just out to get black men and to incarcerate them and put them in jail? You know, cops are corrupt. Basically demeaning the whole job that I have. I mean, and that, you know, obviously doesn't feel good. So I think it's more the sentiment than just the name calling.
And I think I should probably mention, in the spirit of full disclosure, that my husband is a defense lawyer. He's a pretty well-known defense lawyer. But before that, he was a prosecutor. He was a state and federal prosecutor for about 17 years. So he spent basically about half his career on each side of mm-hmm. the courtroom. So I just thought I'd mention that for the listeners who may not know. So why do you do it?
I do it, I think, for various reasons. It's great experience. It's great trial experience. But also, I think it's important work. A lot of people don't realize that the prosecutor has a lot of discretion, especially in an office that I work in where we're given a case file and told to run with it. And our only motto in our office is to do justice. I've not been told that statistics are important or that your incarceration rate is important or anything outside of doing the right thing, doing justice for the community and for each particular case. So that's what I do. And I feel like it's an important job. You know, we have a lot of discretion, a lot of ability to give alternative sentences, not to always incarcerate, to give people treatment. And, you know, I speak mostly about treatment because I do mostly narcotics. But there's a lot of things on this side that a lot of people take for granted.
And it's important to have different worldviews on all sides of the equation.
Exactly.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Felicia Newman in a behind-closed-doors conversation about what it's like to be an African-American prosecutor. What do you say to those who point out, look, the system is biased, there are inequities? You say yourself in your piece, there are inequities. And I think one of the things that comes to mind is the much longer incarceration for crack cocaine than powder, something the Sentencing Commission recently addressed. So there are ways in which many people have come to believe that there are sort of serious structural racial biases in the system. And then they say, well, gee, you know, you're enabling that system. What do you say to that?
I said it in the piece, it's the most perfect imperfect system we have. You know, there's several points you hit on. I guess the first one I wanted to address was that somehow I'm enabling the system. A lot of times people find themselves in the system from their own choices. You know, there are the issues of Jena 6 where that prosecutor may or may not have overcharged those individuals. But, you know, there are other things where, you know, in my experience as a narcotics prosecutor, you know, this isn't the first time we've caught this person. The police have watched them sell drugs on the corner day after. And I don't know what the solution is other than to arrest them and put them through the process and maybe try to rehabilitate them. Because, frankly, the neighborhoods can't take it anymore.
You make the point in your piece that most often the people you are prosecuting have committed crimes against other African Americans. Why do you think it is that the sympathy sort of flows to the accused as opposed to the victim, at least in the people who are talking to you, the people who are criticizing you for your role in the process? Why do you think that they don't side with the victim, if we could call it that?
I'm not sure, and I kind of touch on it a little bit. It's a complete disconnect that people have. They on one hand say, you know, the grandmother can't sit on the porch, the kids can't play outside. But on the other hand, if you arrest someone who is basically making themselves a menace and a nuisance in the neighborhood, don't do that. That's so-and-so's cousin or brother or uncle. So, you know, I don't know exactly what people expect to be done. You know, I doubt very seriously anyone is ever going to legislate that crack cocaine or marijuana or anything else, maybe marijuana, but other hard drugs, methamphetamines, be legalized. I mean, because that's the only alternative. If we don't want to incarcerate and we don't want to do that, then we're going to have to decriminalize it. And that's not a very popular political opinion.
Well, not sure. I'm not sure I agree with you on that, because I think part of the criticism is that the discretion that prosecutors do have too often redounds to the detriment of African Americans. For example, there's a case that I covered years ago when I was working for ABC. There was an African American judge in Cambridge, Massachusetts, who had two defendants before him, one after the other. One was African-American, no priors, selling within a restricted zone. You know, a lot of cities have this thing where if you sell within a school area, you get an enhanced penalty. No prior record, 6 months in jail. Next day, white defendant, six priors, selling within a restricted school zone, gets probation. And he went back and said, whoa, what's going on here? So I think the argument that some people would make is that that the discretion is used in a biased fashion. So what would you say?
I think that you can't look at that in a bubble. But in those two cases, I can tell you this. You can't judge what a prosecutor does and compare two cases, because no two cases are alike. All cases are fact specific. And you don't know whether in that case against the white gentleman, whether there were some significant proof problems. So we don't know exactly what's going on. And also, you have to look at the level of fire in the defense attorney. If he's a person who's collecting the money and doesn't care what sentence or what outcome he gets, as long as he gets paid, or you're going to have someone who fights to the end and really fights to get the best result for their client.
And I see why you're good in court. Can I ask you this? I hope you don't mind.
If it's
does it hurt your feelings when people sort of call you out as a traitor to the race, in essence? Does that bother you?
It doesn't hurt my feelings in the sense that I go home and cry about it. But I think that it makes me wonder, when are we going to figure out that the choices that people make are important and that we can't keep making excuses for the choices that people make.
But it still begs the question, why do you feel called to participate in such a flawed system, a system which you can see is flawed because you have a front row seat?
Well, I can see its flaws and I can see its benefits. Okay, I'll give you an example. There was a gentleman who got picked up on a trafficking and cocaine case. And this person was caught dead to rights. There's no question. I mean, it was in his pocket, literally. I gave that person what we call an alternative sentence called diversion, where if he does what he's supposed to do for the next 5 years, he can have that sentence taken away from his record, like he never did it. And if he does what he's supposed to do, he can escape being a convicted felon and losing all these rights. So I think there are, on each side, there are ways that, you know, we can not, I don't want to say fix the system, but there's ways to compensate for the system.
But what I'm hearing you say is it's that important of people from all backgrounds to participate on all sides of the system. That's the only way it's really fair.
Right. Yeah, I think people need to be able to look at that I come from a different perspective to say than a white prosecutor or any other, you know, or for my gender or whatever. I think a lot of people can recognize that diversity of opinion is important. You know, I participate in this system because, you know what, I have relatives that live in these areas. I have friends that live in these areas. And what am I to do when, you know, you hear about people can't go out on their front porch? You know, I live in the South. People can't go out on their front porch and sit on the front porch because there are 18 and 19-year-olds sitting out there, not their house, and they're dealing drugs from this person's porch. Now, the elderly person is not going to do anything. They don't want to call anybody. They may be afraid. You know, what are we to do? I mean, no one's going to take responsibility for these people. They're not going to take responsibility for themselves. And at some point, you know, the community has to stand up and say, look, you know what? You're not going to terrorize the neighborhood anymore. You're not going to do it. And I think that's one of my motivating factors. You know, people are literally being terrorized. Witness intimidation, I know, has been a popular subject in the news as of late, and it is a real problem. People are intimidated, and they don't want to come out. They don't want to speak out, and they displace their anger onto the system.
What would you most like people to know about the work that you do?
I would like people to realize that people and situations are very complex. I think it's very easy to paint everything with, you know, black or white strokes. I think a lot of the people I work with are police officers. And I will tell you, there are some who, you know, I know where they're coming from. I know that they have biases, to put it nicely. But there are a lot of people who are literally trying to do what they think is right for the community. And I think people want to, you know, paint them in a corner, paint them in a box. You're white, you wear blue, therefore you're bad. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of narcotics officers, and I just don't see it. And, you know, and obviously we're quote unquote on the same side. But I do know, you know, I have had situations where something was a little fishy, and guess what? I did something about it. You know, I didn't indict the case, or I dismissed the case, or, you know, I think that's the thing I want people to understand, that people are really trying to do the right thing.
Do you like the work? You know,
do I like it? Mm-hmm. It's very intense. It's a lot of hard work. And, you know, I'm a public servant, emphasized servant. And so it's grueling sometimes, but I do have a sense of satisfaction.
Felicia Newman is an assistant prosecutor in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. She joined us from Louisville Public Media. Her piece is titled, I Am Not the Enemy, and it ran in Newsweek on April 5th. And we'll have a link to it on our website. Felicia Newman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we remember the Virginia Tech shootings. The mother of one victim spoke with us a few months ago and shared how she and family members of other victims have helped each other cope.
And there are a lot of things that we have in common, the families, but we all come from a different place. Our approaches to handling our grief is so varied.
Holly Adam Sherman is back with us. We wanted to know how she's doing. I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and that's next.